This is an extraordinary gospel of Jesus, who, if one heard all four readings at Christmas, the fourth one, which is heard usually the Spanish Mass here, the Mass of the day, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. The Word of God, through whom everything was created, the second person of the Trinity, becomes a human being. And he enters into his own creation, which he created, and takes on permanently that which he created. And that is our human flesh. We are created beings. God is uncreated. Yet somehow he joins the two in a form that's below the angels at this point in his life, which is unbelievable. And at the end of the story, he becomes obedient to his parents, whom on another level he himself created. Isn't that amazing? That the story has, it's infinite in its implications. One of the many, many things you can pull out of this is everyone in life has to be obedient to someone. If we can't live in obedience to someone at every stage of our lives, we're not living Christianity. Whether it's our parents, our employer, our church, what God teaches us to do, our conscience, we must be obedient to God. And God takes the form of human flesh on earth and people that have flaws. Mary and Joseph didn't have flaws in the sense that, well, they were normal parents, and they didn't understand a lot of what was going on in this story. It's really a journey that we follow with Jesus in our own lives. This is the way God speaks to us. This is how he teaches us. This is how he acts with us. Hidden within the gospel are, notice that Jesus was gone for 3 days. What does that remind us of? The resurrection of the dead. See how Jesus hid himself for 3 days from humanity. But those who knew where to find him, they found him in the temple of their hearts. He rose from the dead. So this, as usual, they went up to Passover. Apparently they did this every year. There's a big caravan of individuals going to save money, and I always picture the covered wagons, but I don't think that's what they had. I'm not sure. But they had tents, you know. And Jesus is with all the extended family, and Mary and Joseph aren't being bad parents. Jesus is 12. He's floating around. He's already a young man. And there were a lot of places they could have gone in Jerusalem while they were there. You can still see the steps that Jesus would have taken to go up to the temple platform. One's called Robinson's Arch. Part of it's still there. It's been excavated. The grand staircase leading up to the main city, from the main city up to the Temple Mount, that they would have walked up. They would have gone probably to Solomon's Portico, where the healing later Jesus would do of the cripple by sitting by the pools. All kinds of little shrines that there were to do, and Jesus could have stayed in any one of those. And theological debates going all over the city, just like we have in Catholicism today. And Jesus was a part of that. He was fully God and fully human. As God, he had more knowledge than any of them, though limited by his humanity, which was 12 years old, and needed to grow in wisdom, stature, and in favor. Jesus was not fully mature in his the way he said things was a bit blunt in this, don't you think? A little bit. Mary and Joseph do not know where to look. They've lost Jesus. But they know that Jesus did this on purpose. You see, when they finally find him, Mary, you know, you picture Mary at the wedding of Cana. She says to the waiters, do whatever he tells you to do, she says very gently and contemplatively. But here we find Mary. We don't quote her that often at this point, do we? We think of the Virgin Mary. Again, not to repeat myself, but when she and Joseph, first of all, she invokes Joseph. She says, your father and I asked a couple parents after Mass, how would you do this with a child? I haven't had this by personal experience. Most of the parents said they would have pointed. Your father and I have been looking for you with great anxiety. Here's Joseph over here. Why isn't Joseph speaking? Got laryngitis or something again. Why is Mary doing the talking? I mean, in that culture, Joseph would have been the one to do this. Your father and I have been looking for you with great anxiety. Do you think she was saying, your father and I have been looking for you with great anxiety? Well, I mean, we don't picture the Virgin Mary getting ticked off, but she was not happy. 3 days. And what she says to God, she knows who this is. Why have you done this to us? Anybody ever said that to God? What do you think this is in the gospel for? It's okay. If even the Virgin Mary asks this question, then it's okay if we do this. Why have you done this to us? Why have you done this? And Jesus answers in a way that my parents taught me not to do. He answers with a question. He doesn't answer his mother's question. He doesn't say why. He forced them to look for him. See, he's growing up. He's already beginning to teach them as God. God hides himself regularly in our lives. Get used to it. If you're having a honeymoon with God, it's going to end. Jesus is going to hide himself. It's part of our growing relationship with someone. This is the hide-and-seek kind of thing in which we seem to lose God is part of the human condition. This is why Mary and Joseph had to go through this. They had to go home and ponder this. They understood his answers in a direct sense. They didn't understand the deeper meaning. They had to go home and think about this because they knew who he was. And she says, now I was raised by my grandparents, so it's a long story, but it was, anyway, if I had said to my grandfather, whose mass I celebrated on Christmas Eve, his birthday, you are not my real father, he would have never forgotten it all of his life. Anybody here adopted? Would you tell your adopted father you're not my real father? That would hurt that person more than anything in the whole world. But Jesus does that. She says, your father and I are looking for you. And Jesus says, I had to do my father's will. That put Joseph in his place, didn't it? And he went home and pondered that because he didn't ask for the job. It came with Mary. He was asked by the angel, and then he gets a handful with Jesus. Jesus now has two fathers, and Joseph has to contend with this. But Jesus goes home, and he's completely obedient to them. He tells them again, this is who I am. This is who I'm going to become, but I live under obedience to you. And Jesus does the same thing with us. When I'm up here at the altar, Jesus is really present in the bread and wine after the consecration, but he's obedient to me and to the Eucharistic ministers and to you when you receive him. Even if you're not worthy to receive him, he will come in as a guest. He may want to clean up the house a little bit, though. He's obedient to us in life. He's obedient to our desires. He often answers our prayers when we don't, even before we ask, but many questions are not answered. Jesus answers our questions with a question. I want to finish with something I've told before, but Mother Angelica gave a talk once. It was a beautiful talk. I didn't know who she was. It was 40 years ago. And she said that she was wanted to be a nun, and her knees were too bad. And so they were going to throw her out at the end of the novitiate. They said, you can't do this job as a poor cleric. You can't kneel. And she went up to God. She says, all my life, all I wanted to do was be a nun. And you gave me knees that don't work. Why me? Why me? And she said, after she prayed for a while, Jesus answered her with a question. And why me? Angelica, why me? And they shut her up. And then she got healed enough to be able to continue on. But she had to learn that some questions are not fully answered in this life. But Jesus gives us an assignment and gives us what we need to know. We too have to go home having had such an encounter with God that leaves us with questions, yet we have found him in the temple of the church, of our heart, maybe at Christmas, but we go home pondering what God has said because he has left questions unanswered. This is the story of our lives too. And this is why this gospel is in such detail. We too then go home with the Holy Family, and we too are obedient to God, or we strive to be obedient to God. And like Jesus, who in this world, we too, by following Jesus, advance in wisdom and age and in favor before God and all.